Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, Brother Mao.
Shalom, Brother Mao.
Shalom. Let me see. I just sent out the email to see if anybody else comes on. We'll give them a little time. I apologize. I sent a text to Sister Ray because she usually sends out a text to everybody saying, when we're going to meet. So I asked her to send out one because I was going to cancel tonight because I was in a meeting and I didn't know when it was going to stop. And it actually, as soon as Sister Mary texted me, that the meeting was wrapping up. So I said, well, maybe I can still do this. But it could have went on into, late tonight, midnight. So it ended, and we want to do this, but I want to give people a chance I don't know if Sister Rhea sent out the text or not. I don't recall seeing one go out. Her telling everybody that it was going to be canceled. So if other people show up, we'll go ahead and do this. If not, you know, we can still get into it. We just can't vote on anything. but, you know, we can still get into it.
Okay.
So how was your two today?
Great.
Oh.
Amen. Amen. That's always good. Always good.
It is.
This week has flown by. Yeah, this week has flown by. It's like my days, you know, they seem to blend together.
Mm.
You know, so not knowing when one day ends, you know, and I think everybody at work who I work with, they're the same way. They're like, is today Wednesday or is today Thursday? What's today's date?
That's right.
We can go from, you know, it's like it's never ended. But
and never ended.
Yes. It's crazy. Let me pull this up and try to have the right document up. And let's see where we are at. So, what's new and exciting in your lives?
Nothing, same old, same old. Nothing exciting.
Nothing exciting?
I woke up this morning. That's exciting.
Amen. Mm. At least you're in a month of dead.
Right.
Amen.
Be given the Most High glory for that.
Yeah.
Amen. Wow. Okay. Let's see where we are at. I think I got some.
Brother Miles, do you ever get tired?
Of certain things, yes. I never get tired of the Word of the Most High. I never get tired of dealing with, you know, with things that are his. Now, work and those types of things, yes, I get tired. I think I'm driven like Messiah was driven. You know, I know the Most High wants us to do something. I know what he's showing me to do. I'm driven by that. That's my motivation. So that's what it's just what drives me. So I don't ever get tired of this. Amazon and the stuff that they require, yeah, it drains me. It really does. But you know, I'm having to do that, and so I cannot slack up on the Most High stuff, because I'm tired from that. I refuse to let that happen.
Amen. Amen. I hear you, brother. Because I don't put nothing and nobody in spot.
Amen. Mm-mm. Amen, yeah. Can't let that happen.
No.
I am thinking that... I might have lost something here. Yeah, you know, it's my only regret is that, you know, I wasn't doing this. I didn't do what the Most I told me to do when I was younger. That's my only regret.
Yeah.
Because, you know, had I done what he told me to do when I was younger, then who knows, you know, what I might have been able to get done for the Most High.
I think we all kind of made that little detour.
Amen. Well, you know, it's I just pray that, you know, he is merciful, that the things that he is showing me are what he still wants me to do. You know, the dreams and the visions, what have you. Okay, yeah, here we go. All right, so let's see where we're at. If anybody else joined in. You know, it's probably just going to be you and I, because it wasn't scheduled. So anybody that called in before that time, then we got no show was scheduled.
Well, you know what, brother?
And they may, you know. Yes, ma'am.
If you need a break, you go and take a break because you wasn't prepared for this one tonight.
Truthfully speaking, if I don't do this, then I'm going to have to work in my office and get that ready anyway. So, I'd rather not slack up on the Most High and still have to take care of my office. I guess I don't really like anything, if at all possible, you know, to take his place. So, we will, like I said, the only thing we wouldn't be able to do is vote. But let us go ahead and let us pray in. Let us do our statement of faith. Because, you know, for me, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, this is like my necessary.
I was just looking out for you, brother.
Amen. I understand, I thank you. I really do. But this is like what I need to live on.
Because I get it when you say this is life for you. It's life. I understand. I get it.
It is.
I get it.
All right, let's do this. Let us, I know you ladies already got your heads covered. Let statement of faith, and then we will go ahead and move into this. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim, and is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear a conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for keeping us in these days. Thank you for keeping us in the land of the living. Thank you for allowing us to have one more day to praise your holy name. Hallelujah. And to serve you. Hallelujah. And to be a effective witness for you, God. We just thank you right now, Father, for not calling us home and letting us, allowing us to continue to do your work and to walk in your way and to walk into your will, Father. So we just want to
give you the glory. He's going to give you the honor. And Yeshua HaMashiach, hallelujah. 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 Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let us raise holy hands up to the Most High Elohim. Let us turn toward the east. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread, Father, and to fellowship. Father, for you have ordained that we should gather in these last days and that we should be doing your will and establishing your kingdom, Father. So, Father, we ask that you would be in this meeting tonight, that it would be you that guides us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
The book of Psalms, chapter 133. Verses 1 through 3. A song of the grief of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down among the upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. We were dealing, actually, in marriage on last week. And there were some more scriptures that we needed to go over and into in this area. And I don't really remember where I actually left off. So give me a quick minute to look. As soon as I see the verses, I'll know. I believe we were in Matthew chapter 19. And we were looking at verses 5 and 6 and then 9. Matthew chapter 19. And hold on a minute. All right, so Matthew chapter 19. Well, actually, let's start a little bit higher than that. Let's start at verse 3. Matthew chapter 19, we'll start at verse 3. And the Pharisees also came unto him. Well, if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen.
Amen.
The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every or any cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore Elohim has joined together, let no man put asunder. So this contract of marriage is by the Most High. And he does not take it lightly. When we get married, the Most High wants it to be forever. The scripture says that he hates divorce. And so when people are getting married, and they feel like, hey, we don't love each other anymore, or, you know, we don't get along anymore, we'll just get a divorce. Well, there's some things that come along with that. And so the Most High says that's not a reason to get divorced. That's why they say, the question, we got to go back to the question. Back in, go back to verse 3. The Pharisees asked him a specific question and saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every or any cause just because they want to put him away? Is what it's really saying. They're saying, can a man just put away his wife because he want to?
Hmm.
Every cause, you know, is really saying everything for any reason. And Messiah starts it off by saying, hey, the Most High made them male and female, and he put them together, and he says, and the two shall become one flesh. Therefore, what Elohim has joined together, let no man pull asunder or take apart or separate. So this was very critical. And they're really trying to tempt him. They're really trying to trick him, because you know how our forefathers were. They were always coming and asking him questions with an ulterior motive. And most of the time they would try to get him to break the law. So verse 7, once he told them this, that, you know, what therefore Elohim has joined together, let no man put asunder, they said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. So the Most High established this marriage thing as a lifetime thing. And the husband was not supposed to put away his wife, and the wife was not supposed to put away or leave her husband. Okay, and they were really supposed to be, I'm going to say, partners in the relationship, understanding their role, understanding from the position that even to the woman, he said, submit yourself. That's not a commandment to the man to tell his wife. That's a commandment from the Most High to her and to the man that, you know, you're going to work hard. And by the brow, you know, the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat this, you know, thorns and thistles. It ain't going to be good for you all the time like it is now because you didn't obey. So when we look at this, a lot of times today, you know, people are getting married, and in this westernized society, it is, the key word is love. And when you marry somebody, yeah, sure, you want to have feelings for them. Because as we talked about last week, there were arranged marriages, pre-arranged marriages. You know, this is who you're going to marry. And a lot of the times, whether the woman wanted to or not, in a lot of societies, that's just the way it went. And that still goes on even today. So one of the things when I did this study on marriage and marriages across the world, you know, just a different cultures, very few societies that are not westernized get married for love. For financial reasons, social reasons, to strengthen the family. But rarely does it have anything to do with love. Now, when you get together, and I think I see this clearly, when we get together and it's based upon emotion, our emotions change, feelings change. And so if we are in a relationship and we're excited about the relationship and we're excited who we're with and, you know, we're able to have a conversation with each other and we're able to make each other laugh, or we're serious, know how to be serious when we need to be serious, so forth and so on. Things are good in the relationship, friendship-wise, partnership-wise. Then, of course, you're going to develop feelings. And that's not a bad thing to have. But the truth of the matter is, feelings change. Attraction can change. Motivation can change. All these things are feelings. So if you are not committed to this thing, no matter what you're going through, then we can find any type of reason to try to come out from under a marriage. And most of the time people just say, I'm just not happy. But the truth of the matter is, that's not how the Most High looks at it. Jesus, I intended this thing to be forever. And I didn't tell you it was based upon feelings. I told you that a man should treat his wife like himself. Now, the problem is you meet a man and he don't love himself, then you got problems. Hmm. Or you meet a man that loves himself too much, got problems. Because then he might be selfish. Okay. So he has to be a balanced man. But that's how he tells him, love your wife as Christ loved the church, even giving his life for her. And this is the way the Most High is looking at the marriage. So that you know, even if it's an arranged marriage, if it's understood that's part of the society, and what I found is that people who live in those types of societies, once they are in it, they're committed to make it work financially and so forth, whatever is driving them. And so a lot of them may not ever truly, how I say, fall for this person the way we might think of in a westernized way. Like they might say, oh, he got your nose open, wide open. I mean, she just loved his dirty drawers. And thinking about love being in that capacity, that this person is going to do anything for their mate. Okay. And even though people in these other societies would do that, but it's from a different motivation. So when we look at the scriptures and what the Most High gives us as a standard in the scriptures is that number one, the wife is not supposed to be one that sleeps around or has slept around. And truthfully be told, in our society, proof of virginity had to be proven on the marriage night. And the marriage was consummated. And the family kept that as proof. Their daughter hadn't been around. Now, we know we have no such custom today. It'd be hard to prove that. But truthfully speaking, the man was supposed to already have a job. He was supposed to provide a place to bring his wife to. He was supposed to already be able to take care of her. And so we're living with a set of different expectations. When you look at the scriptures concerning the relationship that the Most High required of the man and the woman, the man didn't come and just sleep with the woman, or else he was subject to be, you know, he could be killed, or he could be made to marry her, or he could be refused and still had to pay a wedding dowry. You still got to pay me all this money because now my daughter's not going to be able to get married. This is how serious this was. So think about this. Some knucklehead talk you into sleeping with him before y'all marry, and then he don't marry you. And the society takes it seriously that you must be a virgin and that you must produce proof was probably some shenanigans going on in those days. But the truth of the matter is the society held up the standard that the Most High established. So if the man was a righteous man, he knew that you needed to be a virgin when you got married, so he wasn't going to be trying to sleep with you. Because if he could convince you, then he's going to think, oh, somebody else has done it too. Totally different mindset. And then he's not going around trying to sleep with everything. Now, this was most of our people, but a lot of our people still were of the mindset and had this mentality that they love pleasure more than they love the Most High. So this sleeping around thing, it's not something new, but the Most High put protocols in place and rules in place, statutes, laws, and commandments in place to try to curb this. To say, this is not acceptable in my eyesight. So what they're coming to Mashiach with right now is, why did Moses give divorce? If it was not meant to be so from the beginning, then why did he start it? And Messiah said, because of the hardness of your heart. Because the law said, see, the law never said, how do I say this? We'll go back into the law. But the law said that once a man married a woman, he was required to take care of her and provide for her. That's the law. Her clothing, her food, her housing. You start sleeping with her. Now she's used to doing that. You can't stop showing affection either. And so, you know, you got a lot of men out there back then and today too, and I think it's more so today because I don't think that we value women the way that the scriptures say we ought to value them. And that is true. We don't value the women the way the scripture says we ought to value that. We have put you guys in a place that it is the most, and I say this about Hebrew men, want to look at women as a lesser than. And then want to treat you as a lesser than because that subordinate and submissive position, for whatever the reason, is like they have equated to a lesser than. I'm your boss. I'm your king. Do what I say do. But that's not what the Most High wanted. And so we are not putting a value on the women today to the standard that the Most High requires. Now, this is, again, there's no absolute. You got some that are worse. You got some that don't even apply to. But the truth of the matter is the vast majority, if we look around, and I say all we got to do is just look at stats. If we really value the women, we would not be sleeping with them, getting them pregnant, and then leaving them to raise the child on their own. We wouldn't even be sleeping with them before we were married. So this birth control has placed the woman in a position where she can sleep around and maybe possibly not get pregnant if she's on this appeal. But then she doesn't realize what in the eyes of the Most High, what did that just do to her? Because in the eyes of the Most High, you are now and just put it where it's at, you're a whore. Because that's that is the definition. And if the man is doing it, then we think it don't sound as bad, but he's a fornicator or a whoremonger. It's not good either. But he says neither one of those going to get in the kingdom either. So it's not that he's blessing the woman and telling the man, oh, you can just go sleep around and do whatever you want to do. He's not saying that. But this is where we are placed. And so he says, because of the hardness of your hearts. If we got married then my obligation would be to take care of you and make sure you had a place to live, clothes on your back, food in the house, or what have you. We're not seeing that as a standard by most of our men today. We're not seeing that as a standard. I'm going to sleep with you. I'm going to get up from here. I'm going to go about my business. And probably at your crib, too. But the problem is the women are going for it. They are saying yes. And they're doing it. So the man is not in this thing by himself. And neither is the woman in it by herself. When we live in a society that says you're at liberty to do whatever it is that you want to do, as long as it makes you happy and the other person, it's all right. So how do they say if it's two consenting adults, then what's wrong with it? That's the world standard. That is not the Most High standard. Most High says you better be consenting after you get married and enter into this relationship and understand that this relationship is for a lifetime. And so we have moved way off the mark. You might just be for tonight. Now who knows who she or me or he might be with tomorrow. This is the mentality of our people today. And so we feel like we're going to enter into the kingdom that way? No. We have to bring it back to the Most High standards. That's part of that reprobate mind that we were talking about Sunday. We will say that we're his people and still try to keep a westernized or a worldly mentality concerning these things, and we cannot. Yeah, I'm not going to accept that. He never was going to accept that and never will. It's not his standard. It is the standard of a reprobate mind. But we have to understand that we were either there at one time or we may still be. A lot of us struggle in this area, and I know we do. So let's read what else he says. Verse 8, he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife. Now there's an exception here. Except it be for fornication. Fornication is sex outside the marriage. And see, people, the law has defined that as what? Adultery. But that's not really adultery by the scriptures. Fornication is having sex outside your marriage. And shall marry another. Now we add to that. When you marry another, you've had a change of heart. Especially for a woman. Because women are more emotional and tied up in their hearts with more than a man is most of the time. They're deeper. But he says, except for fornication, and you shall marry another. Then you do what? Commit adultery. Because adultery has to do with the heart. See, you can not even fornicate with somebody but have a change of heart toward the one that you committed to. And guess what you would be? An adulterer. And this is what the Most High accuses Israel of. So fornication is sex outside the marriage. When you have a change of heart and you commit to somebody else, you have committed adultery. Now, how do I know that's true? If we say that a man having sex with more than one woman that he's married to, then wouldn't David, Abraham, Jacob. This is say all the forefathers. Would they not be fornicators and adulterers? Think about that. They would be fornicators and adulterers. They had multiple wives.
Yes, they.
So there has to be something different there. So you have to dig into it a little bit deeper. You have to look at the relationship that the Most High describes with us. When we were playing with tarot cards and astrology and talking about other gods, because he said, I don't even want you to mention another god's name. But when we're doing all these things and still saying we served him, when we were doing those things, we were fornicators, spiritual fornicators. But it's not until we had a change of heart toward the Most High that he called us adulterers. Spiritual adulterers. We had a change of heart toward me. What did I do to you? You're a fornicator and an adulterer. If one is solely based upon the other one, then you would have to say that when they committed adultery, they fornicated. But not necessarily true. You cannot sleep with somebody and be in a relationship with them. I want us to hear this. And then have a change of heart towards them. And it will be considered adultery. So when it comes down to a marriage, the Most High says, okay, if you got a man, he's got multiple wives. If he didn't sleep with those wives before he married them, did he have sex with one wife outside of marriage? So if I'm married to you and I marry a second wife and I don't sleep with her until I'm married to her, did I ever have sex outside of our marriage? The answer would be no. Because with this other woman, I was also married to her when I slept with her. And I was still married to you. And I was still sleeping with you, but I wasn't considered a fornicator. Because I didn't just sleep with somebody, you know, and not be in a marriage relationship with them. And that's why the scriptures don't declare Jacob or David or any of those other men to be fornicators or adulterers. Doesn't label them that way. And so there has to be something different about it. And then when you look at it, it's a matter of he saw this woman, he liked her, he slept with her, was married to her. He fornicated. And then he wanted to put away his wife because he was looking for something else, and this was things to provide it. So now he has a change of heart toward his first wife, so now he commits adultery on her. But because he does that to her, the Messiah says, this relationship is so strict, it's so binding that you caused her, you and her are one. You caused her to become an adulterer. So it's a different mindset, a totally different mindset than what we are used to in the West. And we, you know, and even a lot of Bible scholars, they want to take the world definition of this, but you want to know the definition, you got to go to the Most High. So he says, shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marries her. So let's put this in the context, okay? Because brother, I don't want you to say Brother Miles adding anything to the scripture. Except it be for fornication. So let's say she didn't fornicate. She didn't go outside the marriage. He still put her away. Think about this, because he says, except it be for fornication. And shall marry another. Committeth adultery. He put his wife away. And it wasn't for fornication. an adulterer? And she didn't fornicate. What does it say? And whoso marries her, which is put away. Did it say whoso marries her that is put away for fornication? It's just straight up. Whoso marries her, which is put away, does commit adultery. So she didn't do anything wrong, but got put away. Most of us can't hear this. Most of us don't want to hear this. But when it comes to marriage, the Most High is not playing. He's not playing with anything. It's us that take this thing and make it to where it's convenient to us. So let's read this again. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for sex outside the marriage, and shall marry another, commits adultery. So if he don't find her sleeping with another man, he can't put her away. And if he puts her away for any reason other than that, he commits adultery. He does. But the fact that she was put away makes her an adulteress. Do you think the Most High wants you to stay together? Absolutely. 100%. Because if we are living godly lives and if we can forgive people out there, our brother, our sister, our pastor, our father, our mother, a friend, whoever offends us, if we can forgive them, how are you not going to be able to forgive your other half since you are one? And so we just get to the place where this is not a lifelong commitment. But that's not how the Most High looks at it. And that's not how he's going to judge people. And so we as a people have to come to the understanding and have to repent. A lot of us for past relationships. Because we're just thinking that the Most High, you know, this is his standard, but it's not his standard. That's not what this word says. So the man don't just get away with, he can just do whatever he wants to do. And it's always been the Most High's intent that once a woman enters into marriage, that's where she's at. And so especially today, you got a choice in who you marry. Our marriages really aren't arranged like that. So when a woman enters into a relationship, she better know who she's entering into the relationship with.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, know him. Because once you're in it, there ain't no out like that. I didn't know he would treat me like this. You should have known. You should have did your homework. You should have tested him. Because people pretend. People can here's the problem with a lot of our relationships. Men and women meet, and they're trying, you know, maybe they like each other, and then they're trying to be, hear what I'm saying carefully, they're trying to be who they think this other person wants them to be. But it really ain't them. So if I'm pretending or trying to be what it is that makes you happy, but it's really not me, sooner or later, I'm going to have to start being me. And then when I start being me, you say, who are you? You changed. No, I didn't change. I just started being who I am. And who you met, I was trying to make you happy. That is the way most of our relationships are going today. And so about at the 7-year point, when they feel like they've been married long enough, all of a sudden they change to be, well, you know, I can't do all that. So, you know, you've been with me all this time. You should be happy. The problem in most of the relationship, person was pretending to be who they thought the other person wanted them to be. And when they got tired of pretending, they got tired of putting on airs, then they started being themselves. And the other person like, well, you ain't who I married. And it's true, it's not who you married, but they were trying to be who you wanted. Now, if it's really that person, where those things work out great is when that person is really that way, not pretending, not putting on airs. That's when those relationships work out to the best because they say, this is, you are exactly who I was looking for and you are exactly who I married and this is really you. You didn't put on no airs. You didn't change. That's the problem with the relationship today. And so when we don't use the scriptures as our, and you don't meet a man or a woman who are living by those standards, then it's whatever makes each person happy. It's whatever makes, whatever satisfies each person. Verse 10. And his disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Hear what his disciples said. If I got to stay with her and if I put her away because I'm not happy with her, then it's better for me what? Not to get married. That's what his disciples just said. If the case of the man be so with his wife that he can't put her away except for if he catches her fornicating, it is not good to marry. Because they were of this mindset that they could do what? His disciples were of the mindset that they could just put away their wife for any reason. You mean I can't do that? It's best, it's better if I don't marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this thing, save they to whom it was given. Now, Messiah's not disagreeing with them. It's best if a man or a woman not marry. But he says not all men can receive that saying. Why? Because this body has hormones. It goes through a period that all it wants to do is procreate. It seeks after that to mate. As part of human nature and the human anatomy. So these urges are real. They're part of our physical and our psychological and our mental being. So he says, everybody can't hear this. Everybody can't, you know, everybody wouldn't be able to say, well, you know, I'm not going to get married. Because if you're going to fornicate, then you better, he says, better to marry than to what? Burn. So everybody can't hear that saying, it's better not to marry. This is a big problem in the Catholic Church. Because, you know, they were saying that all the priests, a priest couldn't be married and a nun couldn't be married. But they were all coming in there at all kind of ages and the flesh was still very much alive. And these are things that the Catholic Church don't want known. But it's well known that these things happen. Priest and nun. So the Most High is saying, hey, not everybody can hear this saying it's better not to be married. Because most people want to follow the natural urge of their body. And if you want a family and you want children, then you, well, they're doing it today, doing it without what? Getting married. But he's saying, hey, you got everybody can't hear this. So now he's going to talk about the eunuch. For there are some eunuchs which were born from their mother's womb. So there's some people who are born from the womb not desiring to have sex. Never going to desire to have it. They're part of their makeup. Everybody's not like that. And some, there are some that are eunuchs which were made eunuchs by men. So when the king had a harem, the men that he had around his harem, he sort of castrated them, literally, to take away that desire for them to want to have sex with a woman. So they were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. So then you got those people that say, hey, I realize this is what I want. I realize that, hey, if I do this, then I'm married for life, and I'd rather be married to the Most High, and they can, and it, within themselves, they are committed to doing that. He that is also able to receive it, let him receive it. So if either one of these apply to you, then you can receive it. But if it don't apply to you, then you can't, you don't want to say, well, I should be a eunuch. Well, if you can't really live the life of a eunuch, then you wouldn't want to take that on, because if you're the type of person that too much pressure will bust your pipe, the right circumstances come along, and then before you know it, you're doing something you ought not do. But you should be committed this way. So he says everybody can't hear this. So we got to understand that the Most High, sex with the Most High is a very serious matter. And the nature of your relationship that you even have sex in is very important to the Most High. We have to ask ourselves, are we willing to live by His standards? Not the standard of the United States, not the standard of Russia or Africa or China or any other world culture. We have to ask ourselves, are we willing to live by the standards of the Most High Elohim?
Amen.
Because what we're doing, when I say we, I'm talking about this country, in this world, we are making this stuff up and then saying that the Most High either has to accept it, or when we find out what the standard is, we want Him to forgive us. He says, I'll forgive you when you first come to me, but don't think that you can come to me, say that you repent all this stuff, and then go back and do it again. So you can't do that. And you're not going to take advantage of me that way. And this is what, like I said, the churches are not teaching people. The camps are not teaching the people this stuff. They're going to have everybody with them going to the lake, because they're disrespecting Messiah. He says, you know, I'm an austere man. I'm rough, and I ain't playing. So when you think that you can do what you want to do and then come to me and keep doing it over and over and over again and think that I'm going to keep forgiving you over and over and over again, that's not the way it is. So we have to consider the cost. This is part of that cost. It's just that simple. We are raising and have been raising generations of adulterers and fornicators. But when you come to this word and you realize, hey, you know, if you're honest with yourself, you have to say, hey, that's me. And I fell into that. He doesn't say that stuff is not forgivable. So let me say it this way. When we come to the Most High, and we are first coming to him, and we are confessing our sins. We're being honest with him. I'm a sinner. And each person has to enumerate their own sins, because we haven't all done the same thing. And if we have done the same thing, some might have done it to a greater or lesser degree. Still sin. So if you lie one time, you're a liar.
Mm.
If you cheat one time, you're a cheater. If you steal one time, you're a stealer. So whether you do it once or whether you do it 100 times, the fact of the matter is, the first time you do it, you take on that label.
Hmm.
So people want to justify themselves. But I only did it once. Yeah, but you stole, so you are a stealer. I only fornicated one time. I only did it one time. You fornicated, so you're a fornicator. Don't matter if you did it once or 100 times. You have that label now. Now, if you were forced, I have been raped, or what have you, then that's a little bit different thing. You have been defiled. But that doesn't put that label on you. But the minute that you decide yourself to have sex outside of marriage, then you become that thing. Because it was your choice. So that doesn't change. If somebody raped you when you were younger or molested you when you were younger, that's on them. That's not on you. But the minute that you made up in your mind that I'm going to go into a relationship with this person and I'm not married to them and you sleep with them, then now you take on that label. Because it was your choice. The Bible never calls a woman who was forced, never calls her a whore. It has another name. It says she has been defiled. She's been made unclean. And she was supposed to be, what's the word I'm looking for here? Avenged for that. Because in our society, whoever she married had to know ahead of time. Because if not, he'll come back and say, well, she wasn't a virgin. But when they explain the situation, she was forced, yada, yada, yada. This is going to be up to that man. And I know for a lot of men that if it was the right woman and they were in love with her, then it wasn't going to really matter. But for some men, it might. But the thing we have to realize is that this is very serious in the eyes of the Most High. Let's put this another way. If you can't stay in a relationship with somebody that you can see, how are you going to stay in a relationship with somebody you can't see? That's paraphrasing another scripture. The Most High says, how are you going to say you love me whom you can't see when you can't love your brother whom you can see?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just step it up to the relationship. If you can't stay in a relationship with somebody you can see, how are you going to stay in a relationship with somebody you can't?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. So we got to understand the Most High takes this serious. You saying that you love me, but you can't stay in a relationship with the man you with? You can't make it work out? And the same thing for him. You going to tell the world you love me, but you can't stay with that woman who you can see? But you're gonna say you're gonna stay with me forever. She said, I don't think so. Because see, commitment is commitment. And once you commit, once you give your word, then that should be your bond on both parties. And if both parties are coming in from that standpoint, then can you argue, fuss, and fight? Sure. But you understand ain't neither one of y'all going nowhere. I'm going to make this work. And if this is our relationship, then that is how it is. That's how come a lot of brothers don't want anybody interfering in their marriage. But there's a time and a place for everything if things have gotten so out of whack. But we got brothers that don't want you to know anything about their marriage because they're actually abusing their spouse. So they sure don't want you to know that or be involved with that. And that's usually where those types of things stem from, because if you are decent, you're genuinely a good person, then you know, hey, you can get into a relationship and things can go south and we can be at each other's throats. But at the same time, if we truly are genuine and we are committed, then we know that sometimes we got to work on our marriage. We got to work on this relationship. We got to be honest with each other. And we might need some outside help. We might need a referee. Because,
huh.
You know, every time she opened her mouth, I just get pissed. What? Whenever she opened, yep. Can't stand to hear her talk. You need some help, brother. Y'all both need some help. And she may get the same way about him. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes we need outside help. And when we can't receive that, then we really stand, we don't really want the relationship to get better. And typically that's because we're doing something we don't really want nobody to know. So those usually where those things stem from. So as the people of the Most High, we got to know, we got to understand. Marriage is sacred to him.
Mm-hmm.
And when we enter into it, he wants it to be sacred to us. Period. And when we come out of it, we say, well, we came out of it for this reason. We came out of it for that reason. If you leave your husband because he's beating you and doing all kind of crazy things, you leave him, but that doesn't give you the authority to divorce him and get remarried. And a lot of us ain't going to want to hear this. Leave him, but in the eyes of the Most High, that doesn't give you the authority to go and get remarried. The only stipulation you put on getting remarried is your husband is what?
Dead.
Period. So when you make that choice to get married because you were in lust, and you didn't want to burn in hell for sleeping around, and then you married him, and then all of a sudden you found out this is the way he is, you made that bed, you have to sleep in it.
Huh.
So he don't say you can't leave. He just tell you can't marry anybody else either. Well, we're taking this stuff and using it as an excuse to divorce and thereby making ourselves unadulterate.
Mm.
But see, when people, you know, and people, I guess people can come and say, you know, the Most High is going to have to forgive me for that. Because it's not a sin. Well, actually, I can't even say that, because if you were caught, you're supposed to be put to death.
Nah.
So I can't even say it's not a sin unto death, because it is. And so we got a whole lot of people today under a death sentence and don't know it.
Huh.
Because we're walking around committing adultery, walk around fornicating. We walk around in this state of relationship and say, well, the Most High just have to forgive me because I ain't going to be alone. Okay, well, you have to answer for that in your time. When you go before the throne of the Most High, then you are at His mercy. And He says He will not have pity if we are in sin. So I wouldn't want to take that chance. To me, we are too willing to take the chance of being put in the lake. And I really think that that's because people don't really understand the severity of the lake.
Nope, they don't believe.
Yeah, so it's not putting them in a frame of mind that I need to stay away from this at all costs. So they'll have to suffer with that. But we as His people, once we know the truth, and, you know, we have to be honest with ourselves, no matter how old we are or how young we are,
yeah,
we find ourselves in this condition. We have to repent of it and come out of it. Can't stay in it because, well, I've been in it this long. I would repent and tell, you know, and at least tell the Most High, I won't do it again. I'm in this one. I've been in it for 20 years. I've been with this person. I'm not, you know, I'm not going anywhere else. Forgive me for my adultery with this person. And then you got to wait and see if He does. Because you don't know if He will. Because did you rectify the situation? It's a hard thing. And then you got to put yourself on His mercy. And perhaps He will have mercy on you. But if He don't, He's justified. So this is not, you know, it's not a joke. It's not a situation that you want to intentionally put yourself into.
Man.
Brother Miles, can I ask a question?
Always, my sister, you know that.
Okay, say for instance, okay, your husband go out and fornicate. So what's a wife, if she divorced him, then can she remarry?
No.
Nope.
She cannot. How do I say this to you, my sister? Because I know a lot of sisters say, man, it's a double standard. And so I can only tell you what the word of Yah says, okay?
Okay.
And that's going to keep you safe and keep me safe.
Mm-hmm.
The Most High does not look at the relationship with a man and a woman the same way. That's why I tell you, you have to know that we look at it from our standpoint of being a negative. Now, your husband went out, let's say he went out and fornicated. He had sex outside the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't commit adultery. That's why I said there's a difference. Did he have a change of heart towards you?
Yeah, he left.
Now, if he left, then he committed adultery because he had a change of heart. That means he had a change of heart, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. However, that doesn't free you to remarry.
Okay.
Because the scripture still says, and it doesn't give you any other stipulation other than your husband being what?
Dead.
That's rough. And I know it's rough because I say, if I was a woman, wow, that I'd be saying, that ain't fair. But the truth of the matter is, it is the word of the Most High. He never intended that when a woman enters into a marriage that she would ever come out of it.
Right. I didn't
either. Well, let me change that. Yeah. Let me change that, because there is one way in the scriptures that he says a brother or a sister is not bound. Do you know what that is? Because I know both of you sisters read your word and you study. It's only
unless
one
committed
he
for.
Says, no, we've already covered that. There's another. If y'all don't believe the same. So let me go get that.
Amen. Give me a minute.
Yeah, let me go get that. Because this is also very important to the Most times. And Paul sort of says it this way. And he's allowed to say it. All right, maybe I'm not asking. All right. Let's see if I can get it this way. Let's see. Give me one moment. Let me find this. Go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. And let's start in verse 1. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen. Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Remember, Messiah said, everybody can't hear this, okay? So Paul is expounding on what Messiah said, what we heard earlier about the eunuch and, you know, going without being not in a marriage and going without sex. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife be benevolent, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. You know, y'all got into this, y'all supposed to take care of each other this way. The wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud you not one another, except it be with consent for a time. We're going to, you know, we're going to fast, we're going to pray. That you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So he said the husband and the wife are supposed to, his body don't belong to him, or her body don't belong to him. And then if y'all are not going to come together, agree that you're not going to come together for a little while so that you, neither one of you are what? Tempted. So it's not just a man thing. It's not just a woman thing. It's a flesh thing. But I speak this by permission and not by commandment. So he says, I have permission to say this, but God didn't command it. What he just said. So we understand that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, I want it, you know, this is my ideal, but it wasn't a commandment from the Most High, and I have permission to say this. Now, for I would that all men were even as myself, but every man has his proper gift of Elohim, one after this manner and another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I, not married, not having sex, not in a relationship. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it's better to marry than to burn. And unto the unmarried I command, yet not I, but Yah. Let not the wife do what? Depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her do what?
Remain unmarried. Remain unmarried.
Or
reconciled to her husband.
And
let
not
her husband
put away his wife.
Put away his wife.
So if y'all just not getting along that bad and you think you need to leave, he's done something, you're still not free. He didn't give any stipulations here, if he does this or if he does that. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried. Verse 12. But to the rest I speak and not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, then let him not put her away. So you got a wife that believes. She's a believer in the word of Yah, but her husband ain't. Okay? And she be pleased to dwell with him. Well, he's doing the opposite here. If a brother has a wife that believes not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, because let him not put her away. And the woman which has a husband that believes not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children what? Unclean. But now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, so here you go, sister, but only for this reason, because he's an unbeliever, okay? If the unbelieving depart, let him do what?
Depart.
A brother or a sister, is not under bondage in such cases.
Okay.
So if you have a spouse and they choose, they don't want to believe, they don't want to live the life you want to live, they don't want to live by the statutes, laws, and commandments. They're always trying to get you to do things that are contrary to the scripture. Y'all are just really unevenly what? Yoked.
Yoked, yeah.
He says, let the unbelieving depart. And the brother or the sister that's the believer is not what? In bondage. You're not held to that.
Mm.
That's the only other reason that I know of in the scriptures, so I had to read it to you.
Next.
Anything else I would be adding? And Paul even says this. This is what he says. Let's go back up to read this from the beginning. Verse 10 again. Let's read that again. That's where it starts. But unto the married I command, yet not I, but who?
The Lord.
The Lord. And this, okay.
Yeah.
Now verse 12. Because he said the Most High said, if you get married, he don't believe in divorce. He said, don't. If you leave your husband, you ain't free to let you stay unmarried, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or be reconciled to your husband. But in verse 12, he says, but to the rest, I, not the Lord. So the Most High didn't say if you have an unbelieving spouse that you can leave them. But Paul
nope.
said that. So understand who's speaking. But he said he's speaking these things by permission. You got an unbelieving spouse, and they are pleased to dwell with you. They ain't causing you not to serve the Most High. They're not trying to get you to do things that are ungodly, and they want to stay with you. He says, let them stay. But if they depart, the unbelieving spouse departs, he says, then let them depart. And you are not in bondage. Now, I that's the only other reason I see in scriptures, and he even says there, I say this, but not the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So we got to understand from the Most High's position, marriage is very serious.
Yeah.
And you don't just enter into it or leave it unless you're ready to be by yourself. Because as long as that spouse, for a man, for a woman, as long as her husband is, seeing that, you know, a lot of women say, well, that ain't fair. I got to stay. I can't get married, but he can. Only thing I tell the sisters is this. You got to have to take that to the Most High. Brother Miles don't have an answer for that. I can only teach you what's in this word because I can't fall back on my personal feelings. My personal feelings may be otherwise. I can't go against Yah, and I can't teach you outside of that. And see, a lot of people will go there. Well, girl, that ain't right. You go ahead and do what you got to do. You deserve to be happy too. And if you are convinced of that, and that's where you want to go, then you have to take that. You're the one's going to have to answer for that when you meet the Most High. That's the only thing I can tell you. You're going to have to answer for that. And if he has mercy and he says it's okay, then Yah bless you. You made it in with his blessing. But if he says no, then, you know, Brother Miles ain't got a dog in that hunt. He don't have to say one word or the other. I'm only going to tell people what thus says the word of Elohim. This is what he has provided
Amen.
To us. And if we can't use it as a standard, you can't believe all of it, you don't believe none of it.
Amen. I tell
you know,
same
people like that. Yeah, they try to cherry pick. Well, I can believe this, but I can't believe that. And yeah, I said, no, it's all or nothing.
It's all or nothing?
All or nothing at the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can't, you know, I can't make something sound or justify somebody in their things, anything that they do outside the scripture. That is, you know, this is, the word of Elohim has to be our standard. Because we know men. Men will justify themselves. Amen. And the scripture says if a man judges himself by himself, then he's a fool. So in other words, what he's saying is if you use your own standards to justify yourself, you're a fool. Because you will justify yourself in whatever is pleasing to you, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, whatever feels right to you, whatever, you know, in your mind you can justify saying, okay, this is right for me. And so we got the world doing that, and everybody making up their own standards. It's your thing. You're right. So, no, Brother Miles can't do that. If I can see it in the word of Yah, then I'll tell you that, okay, this is what the word of Yah said. If I can't see it in the word of Yah, then I'm going to tell you this is what I see in the word of Yah. Because most of these things I've gone before the Most High for years on. And I've researched the scriptures for years to make sure that, you know, what I'm saying, if I say it, it better be in the scriptures. So bottom line is Most High Elohim for a woman has always had a different standard when it comes to even if a male slave was sold into slavery, a male Hebrew slave was sold into slavery versus a female slave. After 6 years, he could leave out. He could never leave out, except for if her slave owner took her as a wife and then treated her unfairly. In other words, he put her away. Then says she could leave because she had no say in the matter. And he was dishonorable. So if we find ourselves in these situations, and we have to take it before the Most High. And I truly believe that when we come to him in spirit and in truth, and we are genuinely repentant and have godly sorrow, that he will genuinely consider it. Because he says he looks at the heart. What is really in your heart? You know, only you and he know the real motivation that's in your heart. And only he can say you were justified or not. So you have to wait. You know, we take our salvation, we take our eternity in our own hands. But we have to give it to him. And so we put it in your hands and, you know, if you genuinely believe that you were justified in doing what you were doing or what you did, then you have to live by that. Truthfully, that is your conviction, and then you also have to be willing to live with it. If he says no, that's also the judgment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the truth of the matter. So you say, I'm convicted. This is what I truly believe is the right thing. And then you take it to the Most High, and then when you go see him, when Judgment Day comes, and if he says, yes, you were justified, then you were justified. If he says no, then you weren't justified.
All right.
And that's that's the standard, and that's the what we have to live by. You know, if you're not convinced that you did the right thing, then more than likely it wasn't the right thing.
Mm.
But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of things that are in the hands of the Most High Elohim, and you got to place it there.
Mm.
And you got to live by your conviction, because you're the one that's going to either live or die by it. And that's, you know, that's just the truth. So only thing I can do myself is give people the standard that he shows in the book.
Man. Mm-hmm.
I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody into. And I try not to put anybody in either one of those places, because it's not my job to.
Amen.
And we have one that's going to judge us. And so we want to do the things that are going to put us in a position where we can receive a favorable judgment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the best that we can do. Because Elohim might say, you know what? That one over there was four times worse than you. However, I looked into their heart, and I'm going to have mercy. That is his prerogative.
Yeah.
And we might say, how? He says, are you questioning me? Who are you to question me? So, you know, that you know, that's the truth of the matter, and we have to put it in his hands. That's why I never say, I know who's going to make it. I don't. I can feel like you're the best person in the world. Most likely, but what you don't know. So I try not to judge people at all. Not in that way. Now, I can judge their actions, and if they're doing certain things, it's detrimental to myself or the body. And, yeah, I will act accordingly. But I'm not going to look at you as a person and say, oh, you are bad or you good. Because a lot of people are good at putting on acts. And unless I, you know, sometimes I do ask the Most High, or he reveals it to me. Oh, no, that one ain't the one. They got this, this spirit is on them. But, you know, I really try not to, you know, I really try not to go there so that I can fairly and objectively pray for somebody without prejudice.
Nah.
Because there's some people I won't even pray for. I won't pray for them, because the Most High would have to say, you need to pray for this. And a lot of people might think that's hard, but I ask them who I can pray for. So just know that. So as where the Most High has placed me at, I just want to do the right thing.
Definitely, yeah.
The right thing by everybody.
Amen.
And, I'm not looking for power. I'm not looking for position. I'm not looking for any of that stuff. I have responsibilities. Whatever those responsibilities are, I'm going to do them to all my might. But I'm not looking for power. I'm not looking for authority. It's not anything that turns me on. It's not anything that excites me. The only thing that really excites me in all this life is trying to do what I need to do to get into that kingdom.
Amen.
I've always been that way, but I was also worldly at a time. But I ain't gonna never say it to nobody that I'm without sin and I never do no dirt. Because I'd be lying out of both sides of my mouth and back of my neck too. But yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you.
I'll never deny that. But yeah, because where would I be right now?
Where would I be?
Yes. Well, we
be. Amen. You know, so I want to keep it real. You know, I'm not saying I'm holier than thou, but I'm trying to be holy. Trust me.
Trust.
Because he said, be thou holy.
Why am I holy?
So I don't think he was telling us to do something that we couldn't do, shouldn't do. It's something that we are able to do and he expects for us to do. And we will be without excuse. Let's go real quick to the book of Romans, chapter 7. I diverted and went to 1 Corinthians. So we can see the only way I see in the scriptures that you can get from under a relationship like that is being a believer versus a non-believer. And the non-believer doesn't want you to worship the way you believe the Most High wants you to. And they're trying to get you to do things that you know are wicked. It says, and if they depart, let them depart. You ain't in bondage. Anything else? It ain't in the scriptures. Romans chapter 7, and let's get verses 1, 2, and 3. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Who knows the law? Talking to the Hebrews now. How that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. He didn't give no buts there, did he?
Nope.
Give no exceptions.
Nope.
He didn't give no if, except for if he's what?
If he be dead.
Dead. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called a what?
An adulteress.
But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. That's the only thing that frees a woman from marriage. I say, it's not like that way for the man. Again, you have to take it up with the Most High.
Amen.
Because I'm not teaching anything other than what's in this book. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that he should bring forth fruit unto Elohim. So that's a whole other precept within itself. Concerning our relationship with the Most High and the law, Christ and the law. Now I'll have to teach that one day. But we are supposed to be dead to the law and that we don't break it. We're not in that relationship anymore. But if you break the law, then you bring yourself back up under the law. So if you keep the law, that is just a way of life. And you're not breaking it, you're not a law breaker. And because you don't break the law, you're not subject to the law. Because the law doesn't bring life, it brings penalties. If you break the law, it brings what? Penalty. All the way to death. But the law does not give you life. So it's just a whole other precept and a whole other different speaking toward that relationship. But concerning a man and his wife, it doesn't say if her husband commits fornication. There's no ifs there. So then we have to take that to the Most High. I pray that he is able to give you peace in that area. Because it's something that you would have to reconcile with him. But a lot of people are in this position. A lot of people. And so I say, take it to the Most High Elohim.
Okay.
All right, with that, we're going to close on this today. We're still not through with this. And this is one of those areas where we want the whole counsel of the Most High. Because we don't want to end up going to the lake just because of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Or being ignorant of them. And if, you know, as I will say, there are a lot of things for a lot of people. They are just in the dominion of the Most High, you know. So if you felt like you did the right thing, you got to also be willing to live with that decision. That's the only thing that I can tell anybody. And then you got to also go by the word of God. That what we think we have permission to do, we may not.
Amen.
So when we know to do better,
we ought to do better.
Amen. So, you know, I talk to a lot of people, and they be wanting me to justify and say, hey, wait a minute. I'm going to tell you what the word of Yah says. Because I cannot justify you nor not justify you. Some things, as the Most High says, he looks into your heart, and only he can judge the heart. So let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you. We thank you, Creator of relationships. We thank you for giving us a standard, Father. We thank you for revealing your standard to us.
Amen.
We don't really care who's right, Father. We just want to know what's right.
Amen.
We just want to walk in your way. We want to do your will. Father, we pray that you would give us clarity of mind and give us peace of heart. That we may be at peace with you. Knowing that all things, in all things, you are the judge.
Yeah.
And Father, we pray your mercy and your grace be upon your people, for truly we need it in a great way. Father, as we go our separate ways tonight, encamp your angels around your sisters, my sisters, your sisters, my sisters. Keep them safe from all hurt and harm. Bless them in their coming in and their going out. Protect them and give them peace of mind. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen. All right, we're going to have Sabbath service tomorrow night. I don't know what it's going to be about. Yah will give it to me. Yeah, he will give it to me. It's going, well, I know what it ain't going to be about. It ain't going to be about us. Put it that way. Well, I can say that much. It ain't going to be about us. It's about honoring him.
Amen.
We'll be here.
Hello.
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom, Mary.
Hey, Miss Denise, how you doing?
Oh, good.
All the time.
Even when I'm bad, I'm good.
I'm good, I'm telling you. It's all mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Is Brother Miles still with us?
Don't sound like it.
Or is he on mute?
Well, there you go.
I apologize. I don't know what happened. Give me 1 minute. I'll be right back.
Yes, sir. You got one more day, Hanisha.
Yeah. I can't wait.
I know. Where my mom's at?
She my dad.
Just a regular road run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got a bike. And
no, she ain't even a bike.
Yeah, she got a bike, but she don't want no bike. She want a hoverboard. And can't ride a bike. She want a hoverboard.
Girl. I tell them, go ahead on with that. When I tried to ride that thing up. The thing went one way, I went the other. This is not for old people. My coordination is off.
All right. Amen. I apologize. Satan don't want me to talk about the Most High. Can't make it just about him. Click.
I know, huh?
Amen. I was like, wow. Anyway, I don't know. I know it'll be about the Most High. It ain't going to be about us. We want to honor him and his day. We serve an awesome God, and I should not have any trouble finding something to say about him. It's an honor.
You're right. Amen.
So I don't even worry about that. But, you know, I just want to make sure that we are doing something that is pleasing and honorable to him. So we honor him in his day, and I don't want to make it about us. We don't see how that honors him. Anyway, my sisters, I love you, and God bless both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And bless you.
Amen. Thank you.
And may you keep safe.
Amen. Thank you. I will receive that, all of it.
Amen.
One time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my celebration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, who are you?
Shalom, my sisters.
Shalom.
Shalom.